Welcome to the Business of Shea Business podcast with me, Jamie Boddy. Today, I'm joined by a multi-genre casting director. It's Leanne Marie. In this episode, we're going to be learning what a casting director actually does, the rise of vertical dramas and vertical content, and Leanne's journey from dancer to casting director. So let's talk all things the business of show business. Leanne, how's it going?
Well, hello, Jamie. Thank you so much for having me. It's going very well, thank you.
No, I'm so excited to have you because coming from performer into marketing and seeing how vertical advertising, second screen theory, all of this, I'm like, yes, let's get her in, let's crack this nut open.
Yeah.
So a typical week, what does a casting director do? What does your week look like?
Oh, it varies from week to week. And what I will say about being a casting director is it's actually sometimes very undervalued, you know, the amount of work that we do. But a casting director's week obviously will depend on what production that we're on. So, for example, if I'm casting, you know, a commercial, you know, I'm going to get the brief or the treatment. I then start prepping. I then start, you know, reaching out to all the agents, the real people, the influencers, the actors, the dancers, the models. And we really start kind of building up a casting kind of deck for clients. And that can take 2 weeks of prep. It can take a day of prep. It depends on the production. So each week is never the same as a casting director, which is probably why I love it, because it's always different.
And you've not long actually come back. You were in the UAE for like a hot second, weren't you, doing some kind of project there and casting?
I did. So I've recently just joined an amazing company as well, Black Skull. And I had the opportunity of being out in Saudi Arabia for the beginning of the year. So 2026 started amazing for me. And it was a wonderful big production of the Joy Awards, which is like a really like a huge event, you know, of performers, dancers, actors. So I got to be there for 2 weeks, which was wonderful.
And Black Skull was such like, for dancers, it's like who you want to be signed with.
Yes.
I never had that chance when I was a dancer, but I feel with this connection now.
Yes. We need to get you in there, Jamie. We need to get you booked.
Sneaking in the back, like, still
yeah,
pallet.
Yeah. I mean, I still think I've got it at times.
I think maybe we should start a mega treat for Britain's Got Talent. Should be like phoenixes that have risen
from the dance grave. I agree. I know the team at Britain's Got Talent. Let me put a word in.
Done. Yeah. Booked and blessed. That's us.
Booked and blessed. That's what we want. Yeah.
So casting directors. Oh, first of all, actually, you mentioned treatment and deck there. And I think those would be two words to maybe quickly explain if someone's watching and they're like, what does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, so a treatment or a deck is basically the vision, you know, whatever the production is, you're going to get, you know, and that can be in a form of a script. It can be a form of something more visual, you know, with pictures or, you know, a treatment of like what they want the production to look like, the type of actors or, you know, so it varies. And also a deck is just a way of kind of presenting, you know, what we have. So a casting deck or the production may have their kind of treatment deck of like what I kind of need, the guidelines of like what they want for this this kind of production.
Sounds almost like a Pinterest board.
It's like a Pinterest. It actually is a bit like that, actually. Yeah, you get all the like the wish lists on there, you know, and then you're like, oh, I've got to find that person. Yeah. Like, okay, where am I going to go for this kind of talent?
Because it's such a jigsaw for you, because not only potentially if you've only been given a script as well, you've then obviously got to then read, get an essence of this character and hope it matches what the director and producer has. But then you've obviously got to availability checks, budget checks. So in this magic pitch deck, you've got to almost have multiple scenarios, haven't you, in offerings?
Absolutely. I think, you know, the reason why I say as well, casting directors are sometimes undervalued and not always appreciated. And I probably was the same before I really understood what a casting director did. Yeah. I mean, I was the other side of the table before, going into audition rooms, seeing all these faces of important people, of not understanding who they are. But actually, a casting director is such a glue to a production, like across theatre, film, TV, anything that you go to watch, you're actually pulled in by the talent. And that's why even as I entered into the casting world, I've been really like advocating for that, for casting directors, because I feel it's so unappreciated. The amount of work that goes in, it's a lot of late nights, a lot of early mornings. It's a lot of admin. Like, you don't understand the level of administration for a casting director. And I think people just see the glossy part, you know, of somebody getting the opportunity to sit on a sofa or on a table and kind of making your, you know, decision of your life. And it's so not that. Like, you have to really get into the vision of whatever the production is. And that can be difficult at times because you have a director who has their own vision. You have a producer that's working with a budget. You have, you know, so you've got a lot of different people with their own kind of roles and responsibilities. And you've got to be that person that says, I can deliver this for you. And I'm also going to give you a lot of options. So your network is really important as well, because a casting director has to know a large scale of agents, a large scale of actors, people, dancers. You have to be so knowledgeable. And that is draining as well at times. That's, you know, and I'm getting older now, so sometimes I get brain fog. I'm like, who's this actor again? That name? You know, so it's it reminds me, I always do this moment of like the Devil Wears Prada where you've got the assistant and I'm like, you know, and I say to myself, who is that person again? Like, you know, and there's that reality as well. We have to retain so much information, but get the vision right.
And like, where does, so getting the project or that actor over the line, where does the final decision come from? Is it a combination of director, producer and yourself, or are you more of the conduit that gets them in front? And obviously you can speak about their backstory, what maybe you've seen them in. Who has the final say on sign off on a cast?
Yeah, do you know what? It depends. It varies. So a casting director holds, a lot of weight, but obviously it's all going to come down to client as well. Or whoever the director or the production company or the client is. And it's kind of like a collaborative kind of process. But what the casting director can do is bring you in the room. And that is the most important part. So a casting director holds a lot of responsibility for making sure they get the right people in the room. And we have to know who those people are. Because once I get you in the room, I need to know that you're going to deliver and that they are going to kind of, you know, select you. So it is a big responsibility. And also that it depends on your relationships with different directors. You know, there'll be some directors I've worked with, they're like, Leanne, I trust you. Like, who do you think? You know, who's the leads? And that's fine. And there's other directors that they want the full kind of last say on that. And they know their vision. So you've got to really understand the vision as well of somebody else. So but it can vary, but a client, a casting director does work very close with clients in making sure, and we can persuade at times. Because there could be talent that you see, but I mean, maybe that talent had a bit of a bad experience on set, and so even though they're very talented, I might say to the director, well, you know that talent wasn't very respectful on set or something. So I have a responsibility to kind of let a production or director know that.
That's really nice, because obviously at the end of the day, that you're then sending them over to a project that could be filming, it could be 1 week, it could be 1 year, and you want them to be able to deliver. And I always bang on about people buying to brands that they know, like, and trust. So you are bringing in performers that you know who they are, you like them and trust them. A big thing on this podcast is trying to reframe the idea of what success is. So should an actor, singer, dancer, if you've brought them in multiple times, should they view that as success? Because it means that you actually like them and trust their skill set.
100%. I think, you know, if you are getting a self-tape request, if you are getting seen in the room, there is something that you or your agent is doing right. What you can't control, sadly, and nor can the casting director and sometimes clients, is what then the final decision is on that. You can only go and be your best. And a lot of times I do, you know, meet people and I'm like, just be your best in the room. Like, and you can only be you. And I think that we're in such a world right now where everything is instant, right? And everything is kind of in reach. Like, everyone wants something right now. Whereas you sometimes have to go, let me look at myself. And when I do go in that room, am I actually giving the best version of myself? Or could I have done more? Because then you could sometimes answer the question yourself, like, maybe I didn't book that because, you know, I actually didn't pull out all the tools that I know I have. Or, but then on the flip side, I do think it's very important that casting directors and us in the industry make that space very safe, because I do feel there's the old generation of like making that casting space a real nerve-wracking, fearful place. And I've come into the space and gone, that's not what I want. If you come into a room with me, I'm going to give you my utmost energy. I'm going to make you feel safe. I'm going to make you feel supported. I'm going to be kind to you. And even if you don't book the job, you know that you've come in and you were in such a safe environment that you were able to thrive. not just survive, because I feel there's this like, I need to survive in this audition.
Yeah.
And I want you to thrive. Like, I think the role of a casting director needs to help you do the best in the room. And I feel like when I was auditioning and stuff, that was such a scary place.
It was. And there was that power. Like, obviously, there is a hierarchy, because obviously,
yeah.
There does, maybe doesn't need to be that fear with it. I want to go to one of your castings. It sounds like I'm going to go in and there's going to be a hot towel, a sound bath, a throw.
Yeah.
I'm there.
Free course meal. Yeah.
We're comfortable. Steak, anyone?
Yeah. Yeah. How would you like it?
So obviously your inbox, like casting director's inbox, are notoriously busy. So not only have you got the client, you then also got actors.
Yeah.
Let's put us in the mindset of an actor, singer, dancer wanting to introduce with you, network, potentially be brought in for a project. What are some of the things a creative can do to maybe have a positive email experience with yourself?
Yeah, I'm quite open to people emailing me, and I'm always honest in that I will come back to you. Even if it takes a little bit of time, you'll get a response.
Yeah.
What I will definitely say is to never make your emails long-winded. You know, we work on quite tight deadlines. We could be sometimes working across multiple productions. So for me to actually be honest and sit here and say, I read a whole essay of somebody's portfolio, CV, show, I really won't. What I want to see is a real just short introduction, a nice clean headshot, and what is it that you're looking for? Because also I'm one casting director and there is many of us, you know, and even though I work across all the genres, I'm not booking all the jobs either as a casting director. So I cannot always give you maybe the job that you kind of want to align for your career. Yeah. So do your research. If you are reaching out to a casting director, what do they cast? You know, are they in musical theatre casting? Are they film? Are they commercial? And what do you want to do? So just be a bit mindful of, don't just flood casting directors in boxes. Be a bit intentional about what is it that you would want from me? Like, why would you want to connect with me? What is it that you've seen about my work or jobs that I've done or I'm yet to do that you want to kind of be in my eye line? But it is important to reach out because we can't see everybody on spotlight. So if you're in my mind or my eye line, I will kind of keep that and be like, oh, I remember this person. Their intro, their email, their headshot was so like, great. I'm going to think of them for something else.
And I think that's one thing as performers, we're so used to showing how good we are. Like, watch me dance or sing or act. But when you have to tell someone and that elevator pitch, as we said, they find it quite hard or it almost becomes too relaxed. Like I had Graham Pickering on the podcast recently. He works in casting more for like cruise ships and tours. And he was saying sometimes he literally gets a spotlight link and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so like what we sometimes have to work within is so restrictive at times. So you can imagine we have to be very just, really just on point with what we see and how quickly we kind of go through. So, even if I put a breakdown or a brief on Spotlight, I'll get thousands of options in.
Yeah.
And I can only go off your headshot. Yeah. And if I'm lucky, go into your whole portfolio and have a look at all your showreels and stuff like that. But things happen very quickly. So I need to see instant of what I'm looking for that can match the brief that I'm working on.
Yes. And I think, and what I love what you've said there is aligns with so much what I say as well, is like understanding a brief, knowing what you're pitching, your casting type and your brand.
Yes.
That's going to get you in the room more than that wishy-washy email when you unpick your CV with every single credit.
Yes.
Many that aren't relevant to that. Once you're in the room,
Let me know let me know what you've got. Like, show me what you've got. I think as well, we're in such a generation now, like, of branding yourself and marketing yourself, as you know, it is quite important.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's essential. I don't want anyone listening to this to think, oh my gosh, now I need to go and have a huge Instagram following. Yeah. I need to have a TikTok account. It's not that, but it's understanding what world we're in and what is now attracting brands, what is attracting, you know, productions and stuff like that, and how you market yourself. And that could also be how you walk in a room. I'm not saying it's on social media. How I meet you in person, you know, how do you enter the studio to come and meet me? Are you respectful? Are you polite? And I do the same when I send talent on jobs. I will kind of ask for feedback sometimes from the producers. Right. You know, how was that person on set? Did they treat everybody equally or did they, you know, treat the runner really, really badly? Yeah. So I'm very about that. I'm very like how you treat people. And I think if there's more of us in the industry that are creating those spaces, it's going to give talent more opportunities to be able to keep booking and want to work with people again. If you go and do a great job, they're going to talk about you and they're going to be like, I want that actor back. Like, great to work with, great energy. So, yeah.
Like, as a singer, dancer, actor, like, your name, the ripples are way beyond just the room you're in. And hopefully they're positive ripples and not negative ones. But again, people, they're going to buy into that and want to work with them again. So speaking of the multi-genre casting that you do, I've got your little CV here. I can't read it all, but it's very illustrious. It's amazing. You've worked across documentaries, commercials, immersive theatre, with broadcasters, and now vertical dramas.
Yes.
First of all, in a snapshot, if it's even possible, is it safe to say that each one of those streams, an actor, singer, dancer, should pitch themselves slightly differently? So if they're going in for a commercial, to a musical, into a film, you have to slightly curate your pitch for that.
Yeah, you actually do, because each genre needs something different from you as a creative. If you are going to audition for a musical theatre, you know, West End, you know, stage musical, we need something different from you than if you're going to go and now do a vertical drama.
Yes.
And, you know, there's been a lot of trend with the vertical dramas. And I am kind of one of the pioneers right now in the UK, like really, working very hard in this new space. And a vertical drama, still a lot of people don't understand what they are. There's still a lot of uncertainty about them. There's still a lot of, you know, agents and actors that feel like this is not the right career choice for them. They don't want to be part of them. There are, you know, some horror stories. There are things that are not going well on sets. Not any of the ones that I've cast, by the way. But I think as I've pioneered and entered the space, it's definitely a trend that's going to evolve here. And it's just how we are navigating this space now and how the right creatives get into it, so that we can protect actors and we can make sure there's like good regulations and standards and the fees start to increase and go up, because sadly they're non-union at the moment. But there are a lot of non-union projects around.
So many, actually.
And it's
and theatre as well, not just always theater. On set. Yeah,
so it's kind of like we can complain about something, but actually what are we doing to make it better?
Yeah. So let's talk vertical dramas. And you, I think it's safe to say you are the first casting director in the UK who's really pushing that. I've been in rooms with other people and they're like, vertical dramas, go to Leanne. Like, what is it? It's not just someone being dramatic vertically instead of horizontally. Like, what is a vertical drama? I'm a little bit obsessed with them now.
Are you?
Like,
that's interesting.
Because coming with my marketing hat and that idea of that second screen and people watching TV whilst on their phone, and I see vertical marketing campaigns and stuff now. So I'm really obsessed with them. So what is a vertical drama, first of all?
I mean, how to describe a vertical drama? They are like 1 to 3 minute like episodes. And I mean, the length of it is like a feature film, but you are watching them in short 1 to 3 minute episodes. They are very fast paced. There is a lot of, gripping kind of content to keep you really attracted into the stories. And they are watched vertically on your phone. So they are, they're attracting kind of audiences that are on the go, or maybe, you know, trying to remove themselves from the world that we currently live in and take them into a whole another fantasy world. Some have said they're kind of like equivalent to like your Hallmark type cheesy kind of, you know, character kind of driven short dramas. And they're quite interesting. I mean, the first one I ever did, I actually did not realise what I was casting for. And I just thought, it's a casting job. You know, as we all do, we're in the industry. Any opportunity is an opportunity to work. And the more I entered that space and researched, I was like, oh, wow, this is slightly different. This isn't like casting a commercial. This isn't casting a film. This is a vertical drama. And there is a lot that actors have to kind of do different when they go into this space, and if they want to enter this space, because it's quite demanding. It's quite fast paced. You have to do a lot of scripts, pages of script. So on set, it's very, very fast paced. It's like a feature film that's been shot over like 8 days.
Gosh.
So it's a lot happening. But there is a lot of attraction in this space right now. And what I suppose I didn't realize when I first started casting is the fans. The audiences, you know, they are really dedicated to this, and they even want to support, you know, the quality getting better, the stories getting better, because sadly some of the scripts have not been, you know, as attractive as what we would want. I mean, I myself as a casting director have turned down a few jobs because morally the scripts, you know, that were not something that I wanted to, you know, be a part of or associate with. But at the same time, there have been scripts that I'm just very open and transparent with. So if there is, you know, certain themes in there, I will be really open and transparent. And that is a choice then for a talent or an actor to kind of want to get involved. Yeah. I've worked very closely with Spotlight. So because I think I was like one of the first that, to put a brief on Spotlight, and they were like, what is this?
Spamming us?
Who is this? Yeah. So we've worked really hard together as well. I kind of, you know, will liaise with actors. I'll do agent workshops, you know, just to educate people like what this new space is and where it can evolve to.
Yes.
Because I think it is going to evolve eventually.
100%.
But we just have to understand the world that we live in right now. You will be in a family home and the TV will be on, and 100% there will be somebody on their phone vertically, either watching some form of content. So these are kind of there to kind of provide, you know, this space where people are watching kind of content now. So we can get better with the stories, we can get better with the writing, better with the quality, better with the actors, then hopefully it will elevate, the fees will get better, people will be proud to be part of that kind of, you know, content.
Well, concentration now is one of the biggest currencies, isn't it? So if you're looking 3-minute bursts, whatever it is, if that is getting that prime real estate, then I completely understand why companies are investing in it. Like Disney, they just released High School Musical, all in the vertical drama in like 2 or 3 minute bursts.
Yeah.
Like I know Prime Video's injecting money into it. I see from a marketing point of view, brands that are wanting vertical narrative campaigns or product placement within verticals. So I think, as you said, that space is not going anywhere.
No.
As an actor then, should they have almost a showreel that is of a vertical format? Does that work for you? Does that not work for you?
Yeah, I mean, this is such an interesting conversation because there are other casting directors that are now in this space. And we have always been known to tape horizontally.
Yes.
And I was speaking on a panel last week and an actor did ask, if I was to, you know, request a tape for this, and the casting director requested a tape, do I film it vertically, portrait, or do I film it horizontally? Yeah. Now, a lot of casting directors will still say horizontally because it's a way we're watching the tapes. I will sometimes ask for both. Yeah. And the reason I do that is because my clients that I've worked with, they want to see what they're going to see. And there is something in when you film something vertically, it's very different to if you film it horizontally.
Yeah.
Expressions, presence, everything. It's such a different kind of way of filming, which you know, like if you watch something on TikTok or you watch something like it's very different. So I'm trying to get actors to understand that there will be occasions where you will be asked.
Yeah.
So I especially ask it for that because I think you come across as if you're going to, how you're going to come across in the vertical drama. But there's no right or wrong. You can still tape it vertically if you want, or horizontally. Yeah.
And what I think is great about this new injection is that it's work for actors, work for DOPs, makeup artists, script writers.
Yeah.
So I think maybe actors shouldn't potentially turn their nose up at it. If it doesn't align with their goals, values and their work schedule, obviously don't do it. But it sounds like a great way to build your portfolio, build your network.
Yeah.
For those in-between times.
It is. And I think it's our industry has struggled quite a lot over the last few years. And everybody knows that. If you work within our industry, there are, you know, actors that had to go out and get, you know, other kind of jobs that were outside of the creative. And if you're a creative, that's really challenging because we want to work in our creative industry. But the reality is this format is providing a lot of work.
Yeah.
And it's providing work for actors. It's providing work for crew. As you say, it's providing work even now for casting directors. And, you know, for an actor to get involved in that space, they just have to do their research. And I always say, do your research in something. And if it's something that you feel you could be a part of, then go for it.
Yeah.
If you're not getting booked in the room right now, if you're not even getting a self-tape request, then open up your mindset to be like, I wonder if a vertical drama is a career choice for me. And a lot of the actors that I've cast in these vertical dramas, they are working quite consistently.
Yeah.
And they are also becoming little mini vertical drama stars, you know? Yeah. And that's really lovely to see because as an actor, you want to work.
Yeah, that's isn't it? I think we sometimes take jobs because that's what we think the industry expects us to take. Yeah. But actually, you just want to do what you love and work.
Yeah.
And I think with the American landscape,
yeah,
Hallmark stars, they do have a huge fandom and they are turning out like 5 or 6 of those a year. They're working. They're buying houses.
Yeah.
So I think actually speaking about branding and potentially profile, although that's a byproduct of your acting,
yes,
they are all positives to help you get another next step up on the ladder.
Absolutely. And we have to only look at like, so China, these have done really well. And these are where they originated from. And then the US, and then you've got Turkey, you've got Mexico. A lot of places and around the world are really kind of buying into this. And I think for actors, they just have to look at it and be like, let me see if it's something that I want to be involved in. And if you have a casting director, my only thing that I really advocate and voice a lot for in the industry at the moment is where everything is so accessible, which in one hand is absolutely amazing. Yeah. But in another hand, then you don't always get the professional quality within a production because the budgets are lower. So the cuts happen and a casting director will be cut because they will ask an actor and an actor can pull in their friends. And, you know, it's things like that. And then you'll see like random casting calls just going up from somebody. And I say, actors, make sure you look and do your research. Yeah. Where is that casting call coming from? Who's behind it? You know, what's the production? Is it a legitimate production company? You know, we want the opportunity, but I also don't want you to be vulnerable.
Exactly. Yes. And like, as you said, you want that safe environment because obviously we need to be treated like humans.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Equal and fair, you know, but at the moment people will say, but Leanne, you're casting these and they're not paying, you know, at the fair, you know, union rate. But that's because they don't have the budget yet. But what they are doing is they're providing somebody with consistent work.
Yeah.
So then eventually that actor is actually working maybe more than another actor who just booked one job.
Like one feature role or one
recurring.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is like, so I deal with some agents in LA and stuff now as well. And their vertical drama department or their vertical drama actors.
Which is wild that they even have that
they have
now,
a vertical drama department now.
Gosh.
They're working more than their Hollywood actors. You know, and that, I mean, there was just an article the other day where we've got a Hollywood star who is now producing and going to be starring in his own vertical drama.
Seen that,
you know? So I think it's like anything, it's uncertainty, it's change. We don't always, as humans, we don't always like that. We're a little bit, oh, what's going on here? Yeah. But I think let's just get into a space where this is here to stay, but how can we make it better quality? How can we make the fees better? Have a casting director involved. I'm going to care about the actors on set. I'm going to care that there's a contract. I'm going to care there's an intimacy coordinator. I'm going to care there's a stunt coordinator. If you don't have someone like that, then you're going to enter the wild, wild west of a production. And, you know, and things have gone wrong before. So,
Same with the theme of digital. What should be in an actor, singer, dancer's digital kit when they are pitching themselves to you? How many headshots do you want to see? How long should the show will be for you? What should their digital offering have that makes your life easier?
I mean, for me as a casting director, I like to see a couple of different headshots, not too many, but I do like to see a couple of different, so I can see you in a different variation, whether that's like, you know, happy, emotional, hair done different. Also showreel, I don't watch long showreels. I'm going to be totally honest with you, but I will know probably within the first 30 seconds to a minute. And it's similar in a self-tape. If that person attracts my attention or they've got some sort of presence about them, then that's going to make me stand out. Showreels as well, even for dancers, it's quite frustrating for dancers sometimes because you can't always get footage of you on your own. But also as a casting director, I don't want to have to scan to have a look. Where are you? Stage left, at the back, like that, you know? So we've got to be really creative nowadays with how we showcase ourselves and what content we're putting on there. It's great that you've done so much work, but also I need to see you.
Yes, exactly. And what are you out of that job? How are you? How do you show up? What does your skill set look like? So I think,
and social media does play a huge part at the moment. I will say to you, a lot of jobs that I'm doing now, they will ask for social media handles. And I think that, you know, and that can be really shocking for some people. And it can be really worrying as well, because not everybody is as comfortable on social media. And you don't have to be, but it's just the way the world's going. A brand will come to me, or a production company, and they'll say, we want our selects and options, but can you also attach their Instagram handles?
Right, gotcha.
Or have they got a TikTok account? So then as creatives now, and I've had to do it myself, we have to be really mindful of what then we are showcasing to the world on social media. If we are entering this kind of industry space, because people will look on social media, you know, or people will cancel you out of a job.
Yes.
Because of certain things that you have said or put on social media. So I do think, you know, as actors as well, we have to be really mindful of how we portray ourselves to the world on social media. Yeah. And that can mean you have a personal account, and that can mean you have a business account, you know, or work account, or how you want to show up as an actor or talent. And then what you do at the weekends when you go to the restaurant and take pictures of plates of food. Yeah. Do you know what, you know, there's like something about how we're marketing ourselves a little bit as well.
Yeah, I've been in crisis comms meetings as a brand person, and an actor said something, done something online, or people have jumped on trends and you're like, actually, like, and obviously we're not robots. Like you can go on holiday. You can share a picture of you and your friends at a show, because it's still linked to entertainment. Absolutely. But yes, it's knowing that actually, would I say that in real life?
Yeah.
Or contextually, if someone doesn't know me and they hear that, will they find that funny?
Yeah.
Or actually, no.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, social media. And also on that point then, do they want to know if they've got a mass following, or do they actually just want to sneak peek into their life? It's more about what they're offering as opposed to following number.
It varies. And this is the thing, you know, and what I would say, like some of the vertical drama actors that are in LA, they have picked up on this straight away. Because the moment you are in a vertical drama, there is a huge fan base. You're like mini little soap stars. So now you have people that are buying into you. You have people that are, you know, watching the content. They want to follow you. They want to be in your world, in the character. So as an actor now, that's another level of like experience that maybe you hadn't even experienced before, but now you've got audiences and fans that are following you, wanting to know what you're doing, you know. So I think social media can be, you know, useful, but also be mindful of it. You know, you have to be comfortable in using it as well.
Yeah.
Because we tend to put the best version of ourselves on there.
That's the thing, isn't it?
That's the scary thing. And, you know, even as a casting director, only people are going to see my finished products. They won't see my sleepless nights, my stressing, my endless 400 self-tapes that I've got to watch.
Yeah.
You know, we all just see that kind of finished product.
Yeah.
But I suppose now with social media, people can give a little bit of like, you know, behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, that's become a lot more prominent, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think even productions now, I know productions that I've been on, the BTS, the behind the scenes, that they want that now.
Yeah.
Because that's what people want to see.
Yeah, they almost want the blooper, the humans. So again, and that's maybe a way, if you want to work for a certain casting director, videographer, producer, look at that type of content and think, actually, okay, yeah, my social media doesn't always have to be work. I can, if humor's part of your brand,
absolutely,
showcase it.
Yeah.
Or if your brand is really intense views on one thing, how else can you still show that support?
Yes.
Is it you donate to that charity, or you read long form articles on it? But knowing that that director might not want to see those really intense videos you've shared, it's working out your package. And what I think is very interesting there, when you said about your notoriety, the further you get up the ladder, I guess in any position, you get a bit more notoriety, fame, whatnot. And it's such a difference to me as a journalist when I'm interviewing an actor who's had media training.
Yes.
Oh my God, that's amazing. And someone who hasn't, I'm like, oh, like, do I actually, they've said something, I need to go to someone for right to reply. I need to let that agent? And that's, and I know some love journalists, but I know some wouldn't do that because they want that juicy scoop.
Yeah.
Having been a performer, I'm a bit like, okay, let me get wider. Let me get another voice on that angle, or let me get a follow-up quote because they said this. I think it's understanding that with that, you almost need to be media trained now. Yeah.
And the thing is, we all have a voice, don't we?
Yeah.
And you know, we should all be allowed to use our voice, but also we have to be mindful of how that can impact others and things like that. And I think with social media, like I said, everything is so accessible with ease.
Yeah.
So it's taken away sometimes the work ethic as well a little bit, because everyone sees things instantly. And they went, oh, I want that.
Yes.
Oh, I want to book that job. Oh, I want to do. Oh, how did they do that? But there's like so much behind it. You know, even for me as a casting director, I'm still quite new in the industry, but my work ethic speaks volumes. Like the way I connect with people, my personality, my energy, my care for the actors. I can only then be me as a casting director. Yeah. There's many that inspire me. I can be inspired by all the incredible casting directors that are in our industry. But also, no one's going to do it like how I'm going to do it. And I want talent to feel like that when they come in the room. There's going to be so many like that you're competing against. But what do you bring to me? Because I want to see that confidence. I want to know that I can go, I'm really confident about them entering a space that I'm going to put them in because they know who they are. And, you know, when you train your craft, you can get more confident. And I think nowadays people just want instant success. Yeah.
I think, as you said, that it's that USP, what makes you unique and branding. So again, go back and listen to every episode of this podcast. But yeah, so books, that's what people, you want to be known for what you're good at and what you love. So show who you are. Don't think, I think the industry thinks I should be this. And actually you're like, I've got 20 other thousand people like that. I want someone who's unique.
Yeah.
What are maybe some of the red flags or things you see actors do wrong time and time again, whether that's in person or via digital communication, that you wish you had time to tell them all this, but you don't?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's difficult. It's never saying somebody's doing something wrong or, you know, right, but it's just making smart choices in things. And like I say, sometimes just do a bit more research, do a bit more groundwork, and know how you're presenting yourself. I feel like there's a little bit of a lost generation at times, even from like graduates and those coming into the industry. And there's like certain studio etiquette of like coming into a casting or timekeeping or responding to emails or, you know, and how you respond to emails. So there's a few different things that you can do better to make you just come across a bit more professional. But I suppose also not being too, I think we're in a world at times where people can complain a lot as well. And it's, I'm a person like, you can complain, but what do we need? How are we going to fix that? You know, what's gone wrong? Like, what can we do better? And I think if, you know, there's a lot of independent, you know, projects that are being made now. People are so fed up with waiting for the big job or that dream job that now creatives are getting more creative in making their own content, which is beautiful because we didn't have that before. You used to have to, be like, get permission to do it. You know, I was at a screening last night and it was amazing to see somebody just independently funded some short films that they felt passionate about and just went for it. And I think if we can get a little bit more like that in our industry as well, even with actors, what are you doing to kind of excel in your, you know, in the space? Are you waiting for a casting director to find you the role? Or are you doing some things with friends at times or recording yourself, doing monologues? Are you attending the theatre? Are you, what are you also doing to kind of build yourself into something that's quite attractive for somebody to want you to be a part of? And as I said, don't like do long, long-winded emails. You know, don't pour out your whole CV to me and stuff like that, because it might not be relevant that what you did 10 years ago for what I need you for now. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I think for actors, it's just do a bit of research and work on who you are as an actor, what makes you stand out and who inspires you as an actor, and, you know, what kind of work do you want to be in? If you want to be in TV drama, then follow the casting directors that are doing TV drama, you know, or if you want to be in a vertical drama, now follow the casting directors that are doing vertical drama. But also know that trends change and casting directors are coming into the space more. So it's always good to be kind of on the peripheral of, like, you know, other casting directors, because we talk and we can, you know, we can recommend and be like, oh, you're casting for this. I know this great actor, you know, and that's how we kind of work together as well.
I think eye on the horizon, everyone should have that, looking at, not always just looking at your competitors, quote unquote, it's actually looking at what's new, what's emerging, who's got an injection of cash, what companies have closed. Like having that 360 look, I think makes you so much more employable. And I have it again when I go in and work in colleges and they say, I want to be in that show. And I'm like, great, do you know who the casting director was? Do you know the choreographer? And they're like, no. They're like, oh, and I'm like, yeah, because you need to know that. Quickly, networking, yay or nay, should they do it? How should actors do it? What makes a good networker?
I mean, networking, it's such a, that word can either be like fear for some people or like great.
Yeah.
Love it. And I think you have to be in the right space to be networking. And networking can be exhausting. Yeah. You know, I still have to do it as a casting director. I'd love to sit here and go, I'm flooded every day with companies coming and I'm in so much demand, but I still have to network. You know, as a business myself, I still have to be present at certain events. I still have to, you know, network with certain directors and producers so they know. So there definitely is an important part of networking. And they do say your network is going to be your net worth, right? So who is your network? And I think for me, coming into space quite late in my career, it's been a struggle at times, if I'm honest, because I didn't have that huge network of producers, family members that are directors or, you know, I come from
to
a
be
very...
a nepo baby.
No, I know, you know, I come from very working class background, single mother, struggle. So I was like, I don't have anyone in my network that works high up in TV, film or drama. So I've had to really hustle and work hard to build up my own networks. And I still do it daily. And we have to always do it because you can, I think you can always grow and you can, you just don't know who's around the corner to give you your next opportunity. So I think networking is important, but don't force yourself into networking events that you, I think, will feel really uncomfortable because they can be very overwhelming. And then you can speak to maybe so many people and then you may not contact one of them. So be quite intentional with where you're going.
Yes, if you're in the right spaces and you know what you're selling, what your brand is, it's easy. But yeah, maybe you sort of thinking, gosh, I need to do all this, think, right, here's one event, let's go and then work from there.
That's it. Keep it a little bit more simple. Unless you are that real confident person who loves to talk and loves to network, then great, but don't put yourself into spaces that you're feeling uncomfortable, because then you're not going to be the best version of yourself. So then you're not going to do a great job, and then you're not going to get the right networks. You know,
you said who'll be around the corner, it'll be me. Until you make me a vertical star, I'll be around every corner.
Jamie's
Leanne
gotta be next. Jamie's gotta get in a vertical. I'm gonna make it my, you know, goal for this year.
I feel like I'm Mr. Christmas, so if there's a vertical Christmas film, I'm in.
I mean, there's still genres that are not covered yet, and they're coming, I'm sure, in vertical drama. This is it.
Quickly, before we get to our last quick fire round, moving from dancing to casting, what are some of the skills that were transferable? Because one thing I always want to try and really champion is the transferable skills performers have. What are some of those transferable skills from your illustrious career as a dancer that have done you well as a casting director?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so important to really own what your transferable skills are and find out what they are. And a good tool for that sometimes is asking your own friends. And because it's really difficult at times, I'm not very good at reflecting on me at times. Yeah. I'm like, what am I good at? But you go around, and I did something with a few of my friends, and I just said, what do you think I'm good at? And I was quite shocked with some of the responses, and then making sure I keep open-minded in what my skill set is, what I can do. I'm very reliable. I'm very trustworthy. I'm very confident. You know, I'm very organized. I'm very a people's person. So I was like, you know, and it was someone else that actually said to me that I should be a casting director. And that wasn't my journey. It wasn't my life. You know, I thought my dance and, you know, due to ill health and stuff, it didn't go that way. But I think as creatives, we have to be able to pivot. We have to understand that the industry is, there's room, but you have to just not be too fixated. And this is why I say I'm a multi-genre casting director, because I can't just stay in one lane. I have to pivot around, and I have to also transfer my skills across production. Like, I've been production manager, you know, I've just, as I said, I was in Saudi Arabia doing, you know, production scheduling, had 40 dancers. Yeah, that kind of was casting, but in a different in a different way. So I think look at your network as well. Look, what can you do good now? And where can you see, you know, and be open-minded in learning new skills. I'm always learning vertical dramas. I had no blueprint. I had no one to go to. I had no one to turn to in the UK to say, how did you do this?
Yeah.
So I've had to create my own. And now I have other casting directors that are coming to me and asking me for advice.
Yeah. And you're like, no, go away.
Yeah.
You're not, you are.
Well, you have to protect your brain as well. And giving away too many gems. But at the same time, I don't want to be a gatekeeper in the industry.
Yeah.
I want to gate open so that I can help that next generation come in.
Picking all those gate locks, you'll come in.
Come on.
Some of the vertical dramas you have cast, if anyone's out there watching and you love them, Mafia Lover, The Mafia Obsession, Pride and Prejudice, Saving Company. So there's a few, Saving Nora.
Yes.
I don't want to mix them there. Mafia Lover, The Mafia Obsession, Pride and Prejudice, Saving Nora are just a few of them. So go and watch them all now. So we're going to quickly end with lights, questions, action. It's a quick fire round, light and fluffy.
Okay.
Okay, go. First job in the industry.
Oh, first job. Oh my gosh. In casting directing.
Dance and cast. First job ever and first casting job.
Oh my God, I'm getting old. I can't even remember. I think I was booked on a music video, dancing in a music video. Can't even remember the artist. That was quite a while ago. That was my first job, I think. First experience.
And first project dancing. You cast?
On my own? I did a commercial. So I did a commercial for a brand. Yeah, marathon runners. So that was quite interesting. I had to find real marathon runners. Yeah.
I can just imagine you like running along like the parks, being like, you, come
can
over
I
here.
Cast you, please?
Yeah. Yeah. One thing, actors overthink way too much.
What do they want? Never to worry about that. Yeah. What do they want? You're never going to know that answer.
No, exactly. Just give what you can on that day. Yeah. Control the controllables.
Yes.
You obviously work in casting. Who would play you in a movie? It could be anyone. Dead or alive.
Who would play me? Oh my gosh. These are questions I always struggle with. Who would play me?
It could be anyone, dead or alive.
Do you know who I really love? Margot. What's her name? Her name, she's just done Wuthering Heights.
Oh, Margot Robbie.
I love Margot Robbie. Yeah. Like, or someone that's of like my heritage. I'm trying to think of that. This is how sad it is. Can't even think. I don't know. Maybe Halle Berry or someone.
Yeah, of
like
course. Glamorous. Classic. Yes. If you weren't in casting, what would you be doing?
I think I'd be like a producer or something, or yeah, a producer, maybe even a director.
Casual.
Why not?
Nice.
Yeah.
A self-tape mistake you see all the time.
Intros telling me like taking too long on your intro, like telling me about your whole week's life. I just need to see the scene. Yeah, I need to see the scene. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One actionable thing actors can take away from this right now, one step, if they're listening, think, what should I go and do tomorrow to help their brand and their business?
Just be confident, know who you are, do your research. Get some showreel stuff together or monologues and start to look at you as a business. You are your walking brand. Remember that. No matter where you are, you're your walking brand.
Wildest prop you've ever seen in a self-tape audition?
Oh, do you know what? I have one. It was crisp, but they had to pretend it was fried chicken.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. With ketchup.
Well, they're chicken flavoured crisps.
But it was literally, and the way the actor had to eat the crisp like it was fried chicken, lick their fingers. That's
a commitment level there.
That was quite a difficult
one. What is maybe a industry mishap or faux pas from your career? Anything, any wild stories you can quickly recount?
Wild stories? No, I don't really have wild stories. I think working on set with people, it's always like... just meeting different people. I don't think there's a wild story that I've got.
Lies. Friends, write in. What wild stories do you have?
I'm not allowed to explain.
One of your favourite or most proudest casting moments to date so far in a project that you like, yes, that holds a special place for me.
Do you know what? I think so much that I cast, I'm proud of, but I did 2 years, I cast a feature film of, you know, a whole South Asian cast. And that was... It was a real pivotal moment for me because that was just, it's not being done. And to work with those incredible actors that just don't see themselves in roles like that. And I think that's what I want to be a part of more as well, you know, really pushing out the casting to like inclusivity, diversity, so that people are seeing themselves more on screen. So that I think was a really special, never had a chance. It was a great film. Yeah.
And then my last question, you've just been on a podcast. Do you like to leave podcast-sized voice notes or are you a text person?
Oh God, I'm a podcast voice note. I love a voice note. Any of my friends out there, they'll know we leave like 8 minute voice notes. Yeah, I'm a podcast voice note.
I love them. Yeah. I got one the other day from a friend that was 13 minutes. And I was like, girl,
that is a record.
Over 10.
Yeah, anything
your
over 10.
Two,
I'm like,
that was too much.
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. All I have to say is make sure that you subscribe, watch or comment wherever you listen to or watch your podcast. And I'll see you soon on the Business of Show Business.